Hello, everybody. I'm the last, so I hope everyone's feeling that we can get through this together. I'm here to represent the new project that started with the Memory Technology Resource Rooms. As Geraldine says, I think it's a very interesting area that we're looking into now. It's something that we're all at different stages with and that feel at different stages in how comfortable we are in using it. So when we were looking at sort of equipment that was going into this Memory Technology Resource Room, it's got a bit of everything. You know, it's got the sort of standalone devices as well as the more technical devices. And what we really have to look at is matching the need and where that person is comfortable in their technology and how we can fit that into their everyday life. Now I'm going to have a go with this now and see. So this is where we are. We're in St. Patrick's Hospital, which is based in Carrick and Shannon. What we've done is we've set up a room. You might have seen the photos outside on the stand. The idea is that anyone that is finding that they're having memory difficulties can come and have a look and see what we have. What I would do is I would spend probably up to about an hour, 15 minutes with that person. The reason that we're doing that is, as we've spoken throughout the day, is everybody has individual needs. Everyone has different lifestyles. Everyone has different things that we can incorporate with the idea of equipment. So that's where my role is within this room, is to sit down with the person, sit down with the family and carers, and sit down with staff and say, what kind of things are you finding? So what kind of things are becoming issues or that you're noticing? Or, as you know, the other lady was saying, what are you observing? So what are you observing in your work setting that is something that we can look at for the person with dementia? And maybe there's something in this room that we can apply that will help at that stage. As we all know, the journey, a person is on a journey when they're going through the dementia. So it might be that that's just the most appropriate thing for a short period of time. And then we have to look at it again and see if there's another thing that might help the person. So what I would hope this would be is an open door for everybody. We don't have an age limit on it. And also what we're looking at is we're looking at sort of the criteria as being anyone that's presenting with memory difficulties. Because as we spoke about earlier, what we are in is a situation that sometimes there might not be a diagnosis. But actually, we know that those difficulties might be there for that person. So what I would tend to look at is the symptoms, to look at the issues, to look at the lifestyle, to look at what's not quite going right for that person, and then with that, see if we can work in with the technology. Okay? As you can see from this, it's a collaboration with the Dementia National Office and the HSC. The funding actually came from dormant funding within the Older Person Services. But what we are looking at is a service across all areas. Because as we said continually throughout the day, it's so important that we're not putting our boundaries onto these services. These services need to be available for the people that need them. Okay? So I don't talk about primary care, I don't talk about mental health, I don't talk about older people's services, I talk about there's a person out there that might benefit from this service, so let's get them to it, okay? The other thing to say just about this, this is the resource within the CHO1 area. We, of course, have Cavan and Monaghan, and we also have Donegal. What we've done is we've set up a steering group to look how we can work those services into the other areas. And Geraldine Malarkey is the project lead on this, and then working into what's going to work in different areas and how that can be led out. So I've had some great conversations today, which have been very exciting, as to how we can bring these services to the other areas within the CHO1. The other thing also is that Anna, if she's here, is on right at the back, is part of our working group. So as it's a national project, what we're looking to do is we're trying to standardise the experience for anyone that's using this service. So these will be set up, and you should hear about them popping up all over the country. So it's a national project. Some areas, what they've decided to do is they've actually decided to make them more of a mobile unit. So actually bringing the devices to the person in their own home and seeing if that works as well. So different areas are using their imagination as to how they're going to use it, but you should start hearing Memory Technology Resource Room being spoken a lot. So this is what ours looks like. There's a reason we've tried to make it homely, and I think the biggest reason is a prompt for people, because sometimes when you come into that more homely environment, it makes you realise what issues there are for you at home. What we've done is we've got all the equipment on display, and the idea is that we go through the use of the equipment together. Sometimes you can see the most beautiful bits in catalogues, can't you? But as an OT, I suddenly go, oh, looks beautiful, but doesn't do what it's meant to, you know. So this is what's very important as well. It's, I think, for people to see what and how it works. So that's the kitchen area and our labels and things. And this is all our signage. What is nice is I've had everybody coming up to me. So I've had people in acute hospitals. I've had people talking about somebody at home that has, you know, sort of thought that that might be good for them. And that's the idea of this. The idea of this is if you can think of any environment where these can be put in place, then we will be able to give you the information. Just on one sort of the way that it works is at the moment we aren't in a position to provide the equipment, but what we do is provide you with information about where you can access the equipment, okay? So anyone that's coming to this resource, we wouldn't actually be able to give them the equipment, but we will give them information about where it will be provided. So what is assistive devices and assistive technology? I've put up two different quotes here. The first one I thought was quite interesting because this was back in 1999 and it was based in the UK and it was the Royal Commission on Long-Term Care. So that's how long we've been talking about it, but actually on the ground we're still a bit cautious, aren't we, about using assistive technology for people with dementia. And again, even in research, we're still a little bit, is it going to work, isn't it going to work? So this is saying any system or device that allows an individual to perform tasks that would otherwise be unable to do or increases the ease and safety with which the task can be performed. But then in Marshall, Professor Marshall of the University of Stirling, who have of course been forefront in development of dementia services and dementia knowledge and dementia information, what she was saying is either whether it's acquired commercially, which is what we're looking at outside, off the shelf, modified or customised. Now, I think that's a big thing because, again, as an OT, what I've seldom come across is one piece of equipment that does exactly what we want it to because our lives are different. What we do is different. What we like is different. Our knowledge of these kind of areas is different. So I think this is going to be something, hopefully, that we can work into this, is how can we customise products. And I had a very interesting conversation with the lady that's here at CareLink, and they're looking at devising a system specifically for people with dementia. And I think this is where we need to be. We also need to be pushing on how can we make this more user-friendly? How can we actually look at products that are going to meet the needs of for people with dementia and what they're finding as difficulties? And that's where we need the feedback from the people. Okay? So there's two areas really that we talk about when we talk about assistive devices. There's the standalone devices, like the puppy that breathes, that everyone loves. And then there's things like the telecare. So with telecare, what you're talking about there is you're talking about a monitoring system. So usually when we talk about telecare, we think about false alarms and flood alerts, things like that. What's important when we're considering these kind of things is who's going to do the monitoring. Okay, so is it a case that there's a carer around and we're looking for a specific piece of equipment for that? Do we need a whole telecare system where it's going to a support system and a call service? You know, everyone presses their pendant to make sure it's working, but what are we doing after that? Is there a monitoring system where you can actually then come to give the help that's needed? All right? And that's something just to think about when we talk about telecare. So let's look at the evidence behind this. What happened prior to us sort of setting up these memory technology resource rooms is when the idea came about, Barbara Dunk came over from England. She's been running a service in London for a number of years. So she had sort of had experience of what was working, what wasn't working. And what she was saying is that there is evidence out there that these are things are going to enhance the person with dementia and their experience. You know, the things like mobile phones, which we're all very comfortable with using now. You know, things like tablets, we're getting more comfortable in the use of them now. So then they can be applied within the routine and knowledge base that we have to then look at how else we can use them. The other one that came out as well is GPS. Do you know that? The tracking type systems. And what's quite interesting with this has sort of come on the back of ethical issues as well, of how much does the person with dementia understand what it would mean with that tracking system. So ethically that has gone sort of through lots of questions for people, and something that we would say, you know, that would absolutely go into, you know, in coincide with the capacity idea, is that the person is able to make that informed choice as to what this system is going to be. Okay. The other one that was out was a longitudinal study, and that had a comparison group. So that actually was proved to be quite successful in getting an idea of what was, you know, working for people. And that what they found was it was a support mechanism. So it was a support mechanism for the person with dementia, but it was also a support mechanism for the carer. And I often find that it's, you know, I had a conversation with a lady last week who's very excited because her son has found a GPS watch in Zurich and sending it over to her. And that's for her husband because her husband likes going for his walks. So it's the idea of the security more for the carer to enable and support the person with dementia to maintain their independence. So that's the way I'm finding that this technology is being looked at. And it is, you know, again, what we're looking at, if these things are in place, are we looking at people being able to stay at home longer? So these ones I put on because the first one I think is something that I would see as a role within the memory technology room is that we need to keep on researching. Okay, you will get these research articles, so I won't go into them in too much detail. I've given the 3-minute prompt, so I need to keep going. But that's what I think is so important about what we're doing. We need to be getting the feedback. We need to be getting the feedback from the people with dementia to say, yes, this is significant enough to be able to support the person to stay at home longer. And that's, you know, and that, as we've said, lots of people talked about today, that is the main objective of most people, to stay within the home environment, isn't it? So what does it look like? Well, it's things like this. It's orientation. It's looking at orientation in time, in place. Lots of the bright colours. There's been a lot of research now looking at colours that work better for people. As you were saying, Maeve, you know, with that visual, perceptual stuff, what's going to work for the person. We have personal tastes on top of that. And then you look at these things that do exactly the same job and say, well, I like that one better. You know, so it's important that we are able to give the person a chance to look at different things and how they're going to work. A lot of these, the reason I stuck these up, my favourite, imagine what my favourite is on that page. Yes! It's the whiteboard. You know, again, we're looking at, well, how complicated do we need to make it? Are there simple solutions that people can start doing straight away? Is there techniques and advice that I can be given a person that they can start straight away without buying things? All of these other things that I've got on this slide all need batteries. So this is another thing we have to think about. Who's going to monitor when the batteries run out? You know, so it's not about you just taking a piece of equipment. It's about how that equipment is going to be used and monitored and maintained. And communication. a lady in the audience, Julie, hello. She told me something today that I didn't know. The Dora, do you see the Dora mobile phone there? That is now actually the SIM that you put in that is currently larger than the new SIMs that are coming out. So this is what, you know, this is what's so lovely about this kind of resource is that I didn't know that until today when Julie had told me. I went to get a new SIM for it and the SIM doesn't fit the phone. So our obligation then is to go back to the company and say, you're not making it right. You know, things aren't working right here, so we need to look at changing it. Again, you have the three different styles. Is someone used to using a mobile phone? Is someone more used to using a handset? Or is somebody more used to using the landline? Let's match their needs. I put the whiteboard again in there because I think it's a very good one for communication as well. The other thing we have there is the communication mat, which looks at cards that actually stimulate conversation and look if the person has word-finding difficulties. Safety we all know about in the fact of sort of the telecare that's out there. These are all the different telecare that is available. Again, think about monitoring if you're going to go down that route and how user-friendly is it? Is it a fact that you're going to expect somebody to wear something that isn't in their mindset to put on to wear? So are they going to press it if something is not going the way they want it to go? So you always have to think, how useful is this equipment going to be for that person? That's the top one I just stuck on. That's a little flood prevention thing, that actually it's a plug, and then if the water gets too high, it'll open and the water will go down, which is very clever, isn't it? And the other important one here, which is probably very OT, is the fact that we all have activities in our life that are extremely meaningful to us, and they're part of what makes us, they're what they now call the mindfulness, you know, the activities that we can absorb ourselves in and enjoy and be able to relax with. So again, it's still very important for us to be able to provide those activities at an appropriate level for that person to enjoy and engage in. And, you know, and the things like sort of photo albums, jigsaws, painting. We've got different sort of levels of engagement for painting and things like the radio where it's just one button. So, guys, another important part that we've all talked about and we all have a responsibility for is signposting. So when we've had our conversation and the person is telling us what kind of things, you know, are them, what kind of things they enjoy, what kind of things they'd like to be doing, my role I would also see is then how can I meet those needs into signposting to the other services around. And this is what today has been so great about, because it's been a collaborative experience. So I am actually leaving here more aware of what services are out there. So, thank you very much. It's a telephone call, and we'll wait to see, you know, so please sort of get the word around now. What all the people have to do is just give us a call. If you're thinking about somebody or you would like yourself to come, then it's exactly the same way. You would just give us a call, and we can make an appointment with me.